Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
The Bears are now a dozen interviews into their coaching search, with Mike McCarthy flown in via private plane for an in-person meeting yesterday. When a final decision is made, will we project the Bears' record or worry about their playoff future? They were predicted to win 8.5 games before last season. Could McCarthy better that number? Could Smith or Ben Johnson? Or do you worry about playoff results?
Well, I think that's fun to look at. I think that's a good thing, because I think that, you know, a lot of the pushback yesterday was, what has this guy done in the playoffs and what has that guy done in the playoffs? And your response is kind of like, wouldn't it be great if the Bears, if we were regularly talking about how they're not winning enough in the playoffs, wouldn't that be ideal given where this team has been for as long as it's been there? So I you know, you just kind of look at, you know, what was their projection last year? Was 8.5. I don't think we went nuts about it, but I don't think we had them winning 5 games. And I think I think that we thought they had to be above 500 if they were going to return the coach. I felt like the coach needed to make sure that he was in that range. And obviously that went away fairly quickly. Started the season okay, 4-2, and then obviously 10 straight wins is gonna end whatever hope you had of keeping your job, or I guess unless you're the general manager. So I think that the Bears, if they get a good coach in here, can that guy immediately get to where rock bottom was considered among the fan base, 8.5 wins? Could they win 8.5 games next year? I think I could see 3 games going the other way over what happened this year. I could probably see 4 games. I think they could win 9 games. I don't know that anybody's going to come in, take over with the issues they have on the offensive line, the defensive line. They're going to have to fix some things, and that's every year. But they've got some pieces here. They've got some opportunity here. And depending on what you can do with the quarterback, yeah, you could probably win 8.5 games, 9 games. I don't think that's pushing it. I think this team is capable of that, and that's why they got rid of people. So to answer the question, do I believe that Mike McCarthy could do it? Yes, I do. Do I believe Ben Johnson could do it? I actually do. Do I think Arthur Smith could do it? You know, maybe he could. I'm not sure how the degree of difficulty it is. I get it. They're in the division. Maybe, and I don't know this, but is it possible that a step back happens with the Minnesota Vikings, especially if they lose a coordinator, especially if they move on from the quarterback? It seems like 14 wins is easier to project 10 to than it's getting to 15. So I just think that things change from year to year, and that the Bears aren't as far away as we imagine them to be.
It would be the first time Arthur Smith won more than 7 games.
Well, I mean,
why was he
I said
interviewed?
Maybe on him.
Why? Yeah.
Because he did well with Justin Fields.
Did he?
I mean, I think that's got to be one of the reasons. I think they felt that he turned around their quarterback situation a little bit.
And
I think that they look at their quarterback
situation. That was an odd inclusion.
Playoffs?
Playoffs? They won one game in the division. And maybe you'd like to count it as two. Maybe the McCaskies are counting it as two because it was the Packers' last game of the season and it was at Lambeau. So maybe somewhere deep down where you don't want to go, it counts as two.
How far away were they from winning both games?
Let's win a game. Let's get a coach in here to win some games in the NFC North before we start talking about playoffs. David, I'm with you on Arthur Smith.
That's the pushback that you get is what I'm saying.
I'm with you on Arthur Smith. I have no idea why they talked to him. I've been the one who's been, no problem, talk to his man. That one doesn't make any sense unless you're trying to get a little bit of Mike Tomlin stink in here. I mean, if that's the point, okay? But he's got very little. He's just been around for just a little bit of time, right? He's not been around Mike Tomlin for all this time to really get that deep down stench you're looking for. That's the idea.
So I respect the question. It's fun to look ahead at win totals with prospective head coaches. We don't even know what the roster is going to look like. We don't know who they're going to sign in free agency or who they're going to draft and who's coming and going and staying. So I do think it's a wildly premature to project playoff aspirations, win totals. And I think that the Bears are looking at this maybe all wrong in terms of if that is the way they're viewing this. You have to think big, but you also have to be practical. We keep talking about the Bears' ceiling, and I understand that because it's the nature of sports. But the Bears talking about their ceiling all the time ignores the fact that they've got holes in the floor. The foundation is shaky. The room is in shambles. You need to obviously be aware of what Ben Johnson is capable of bringing, possibly. And you want to think in terms of Super Bowls. And I know people somewhere along the line will mention multiple championships. But how about being a 12-win team first? Or dare I say a 10-win team again? It's been too long. The Bears have had one winning season since Lovie Smith left town. When you look at that, they have a real big need to be realistic about where they are and what they're not. And what they're not is a respectable franchise. In that context, Mike McCarthy comes to town. And Mike McCarthy walks in with a guy that is stable and predictable and credible. And what he can do to your floor gives you hope that he can repair some of the damage that has been done. Then maybe they are a 500 team. Then maybe you start from there. That is your floor. It is fixed if you hire a guy that brings that certainty. If you bring somebody who's never done it before, using new tools and doesn't have the experience of a more polished carpenter to keep the metaphor alive, I don't know if you can count on 8.5 or more victories. So I think that the Bears, before they can think big and imagine that what that dream house looks like, you know, get the nice place in the subdivision where you can very comfortably live first. Because right now, nothing is comfortable about the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, these are questions we really don't know the answers to right now.
That's the voice of the Hall of Famer, Dan Pompey, joins Mully and Haw at 8:25 this morning to discuss this Bears coaching search. He's seen quite a few of them. If there is a candidate out there that the Bears coaching search, do you believe, has either gotten overlooked or neglected to receive the attention that he deserves? Or do you think that the Bears cannot afford to hire somebody on proven, unproven, even if they have interviewed a candidate who qualifies as obscure?
Well, I don't understand the Arthur Smith inclusion, but we've talked about that, and I hope that's the last time we mention it. I want to be open-minded to the idea that two assistants that have been maybe somewhat overlooked, maybe I'm speaking about myself more than anybody, but Todd Monken has some respect around the league. I don't think he has experience as a NFL head coach. I don't know what him coaching Southern Miss, if that gives him as a college head coach there the experience that would be necessary for him to be a head coach in the NFL, matters or not. But he does have some local connections that I can't ignore. And he does have a personality that maybe gives him a distinction among a group that's 21 deep. Maybe he's a guy that we tend to overlook. And he sounds like, Adam Schefter mentioned, he will be interviewing Friday virtually, the offensive coordinator for the Ravens. Aaron Glenn probably fits a category as well. Defensive coordinator, defensive-minded head coach, but a guy who is respected around the league because of the quality of his character and how he his words resonate with players. So both sides of the ball, both coordinator types, guys who, when we make lists, aren't necessarily high on them, or at least on mine, but I want to keep an open mind to both of those guys who, to answer the question, they're not obscure choices or guys who you wonder why they're on the list. They're just guys who haven't gotten the attention some of the other more proven coaching candidates have, like Carroll, like Flores, like Mike McCarthy.
Aaron Glenn would be the guy for me, especially after hearing him talk yesterday, and then got me down a rabbit hole of looking around for Aaron Glenn audio and times that he has talked. You don't hear position coaches and coordinators talk a whole heck of a lot. Like what he had to say, and I don't think he's nearly gotten enough attention so far.
I saw that Mike Kafka is going to be one of the head coaches of at the Senior Bowl down in Mobile. They're taking over that, the Giants earned that right, and Kafka was named the coach of one of either the North or the South team, I guess the North team. So that's kind of cool, just that that he's got that opportunity, and a lot of people were like, Mike Kafka, what, did you see how bad the Giants were? I think he's a young guy, he's local guy made good, and well thought of and has applied for and been interviewed for different jobs before. So, this list isn't as bad as some people are making it out to be. It is very extensive, and I think that's the confusion regarding it. But it isn't like you shouldn't talk to that guy or you shouldn't talk to that guy. We'll see how these careers end up going. It'll be interesting if, in 10 years, they've interviewed, seven NFL head coaches at this point. So we'll find out. But, I think that you've got to take a leap of faith and trust that their process, big as it is, has identified some of the right people and that they have good reasons for the people they want to interview. As we've said many times, there are different tiers of coaches, and there are a whole group of guys that would be more likely to be seen now than other guys on the list. And, you got to keep that in mind when you're talking about the number of candidates.
Yeah, it's a good question.
How much should we read into the Bears sending a private jet to fly Mike McCarthy to Halas Hall and interview in person on Wednesday? Out of character, or is this going to be the new on brand?
I'm not obsessed with it. I think Mike McCarthy is a legitimate candidate for a head coaching position, and the Bears moved quickly to get him in here. I don't know that means they're going to move quickly to hire him, and I don't know that it means that, it could be Mike said, I want to come in. They said, here, we'll send the jet. Or they knew they had to treat him differently than other candidates. I don't have any insight as to why he is being flown in. He is one of two in-person candidates that they've brought in thus far. And I find it kind of fascinating to think that he was up there and they went out to dinner and all that stuff. Feels like this is a process that they're going through. They're going to whittle down the candidates. They should be pretty much through the list, right? Shouldn't they? Where are they at, 12 now? You give them a few more days by the end of the weekend. Maybe they're ready to start doing more in secondary interviews here in Chicago. So I don't know that to be the fact. I don't know what their timetable is.
Maybe by the 20th, when you can start meeting with people in person, they will be done interviewing
Tuesday,
the virtuals.
Right?
Monday, I believe.
Monday is the day? Okay. Well, maybe they'll be ready for that, more of that.
Well, I'll say that I want to grind on this one. So I think we're making an assumption, sending a private jet to fly Mike McCarthy to Halas Hall. So we need some more reporting on this. If we're going to believe that Mike McCarthy said to the Bears, "I want to come in," are the Bears going to say, what's that?
I don't know that that's the point.
Well,
they may have decided to bring him in.
Well, but I'm saying I think that's a big part of the private jet part. So if he's the one who asked to come in, why would the Bears send a private jet to bring him here?
Because they're serious about hiring him.
Well, but that's everybody's assuming that they're into hiring him because he did the in-person interview. But if he's the one that broke the protocol and said, "I'll come, but I want to come to see the facility," and then the Bears genuflected to him, I think there's a lot of things that we don't know. I'm shocked if it's true that he's the one who wanted to come here.
We don't know that.
I just said it. Okay, so then we can't even ask the question then. We don't know anything. All we know is that the Bears completed a job with Mike McCarthy in person. That's what we know.
Well, we know this. Courtney Cronin from ESPN, who's pretty well respected, along with Kaylin Kaler, and both are plugged in, reported that Mike McCarthy flew from Dallas to Wheeling, Illinois in private accommodations, a departure from previous team protocol. If the report references previous team protocol, the implication is the team protocol was used and applied to this interview process. So if this interview process is different from the rest, it is significant because it does separate Mike McCarthy from everybody else. So the reference to team protocol is what forces a lot of people to jump to the conclusion that they are treating this candidate differently, as they should, frankly, as they should. He's got a Super Bowl ring. Nobody else on that list does outside of Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll has the age factor to consider, and he wasn't treated, I think, with the respect that he probably has earned last week when he had a virtual interview, I believe. So the reference to team protocol, to me, suggests that this is a different situation. This is a serious move by the Bears. It's important to remember the optics matter. Finally, somebody at Halas Hall gets that. Kevin Warren probably is behind this because he likes to be somebody that has the image complimented, and he's image conscious. This is good for the Bears' image, the symbolism of sending a private jet to pick up the former Cowboys coach, flying him in, taking him out, wining and dining. So Mike McCarthy gets the luxury treatment, and I think they probably do have a different idea for him than they do with, say, Drew Petzing or Anthony Weaver, and they should. So this is, I don't know if it's the new on-brand Bears, but it does show you that they understand that Mike McCarthy would give them something the other candidates may not. And I think that's why we should believe that he is a different type of candidate who's probably on a different tier.
Was it Dan Quinn who got a coach seat?
Yes.
To come.
And how do we know that? Dan Quinn told us so.
Yes.
So,
I'm just saying.
The Bears are not insensitive to that.
No.
We know that probably.
Warren said they're going to treat people first class.
Yes. And so that is why I think when you look at the virtual nature of the rest of the interviews and this private jet, private plane status for Mike McCarthy shows you that somebody there is paying attention. So that's a good sign.
Thank God.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
I don't know if that answered the question.
What did you make of the Bulls' performance last night? Were they playing down to the level of competition or flat and listless in the second of back-to-back games? Any idea what to expect from this team on a nightly basis?
Yes, you can expect inconsistency. You can expect the unexpected. They are a team that is bound to disappoint you. This was a week where the Bulls could have told us that they were serious about competing and maybe even contending for a playoff spot. But instead, the week will be remembered as the week where the Bulls told us who they are and what they're not. And what they're not is a playoff team. And what they're not is a team that deserves the benefit of the doubt. They don't compete on a nightly basis. That's on them, the players. That's on them in terms of Billy Donovan. In fairness, as much as we respect him, we have to recognize the fact that he's not getting through whatever it is about the message that's being lost. They're not competing. They've got a team with the Hawks who had 7 players down. The guy was making his NBA debut. They got G Leaguers and veterans who you never have heard of. And they come out and they beat the Bulls handily after getting here at 2 in the morning in the NBA dog days. So the Bulls have to be broken up now. The trade deadline is less than a month away. The trade market for Zach LaVine and Vooch hasn't heated up. They need to turn on the stove. They need to heat it up. They need to rekindle it. They need to do whatever you want to do to make sure that you are different after the trade deadline. And frankly, that you are protecting your top 10 draft pick. Because that's what it's all about now. The future. The future isn't now. And last night reinforced that.
With the Bulls, you can always expect the unexpected.
Is that it?
It is.
Okay. I think that, yes, would be my answer. Did the Bulls, what did I make of their performance? Substandard, below standard. There has to be a standard, and they haven't hit it yet. Were they playing down to the level of competition? Yes. Were they flat and listless in the second half of back-to-back game? Yes. Any idea what to expect from this team on a night-to-night basis? No. And I agree with David. I think that I'm at a point now, by halftime last night, where I am like, okay, just list the team for sale. I mean, every player on it, you know, just, and I don't know how you go about it. Like, hey, we're hanging up the shingle. It's a going out of business sale. Everything's half off. Come for anyone. I think that's where I'm at with this team after last night's performance. It was that bad, that disappointing. And frankly, you can't roll the ball out like that and expect people to turn up. It's just not fair. So go ahead. you know, list them all. List them all is available.
Terrific question. Need to get that answer. Don't have it for you today.
Voice of Bruce Levine, he's here at 725. How badly do the Cubs need Alex Bregman? And does the urgency, if you sense some, make them more willing to perhaps strike a deal that is short-term but big money? Is Bregman worth it?
I think they really do need him. I think they need something. They are not done yet. I think they need some cover at the third base position. I think they need a little more help there. Now, that's a lot of help there. That's a guy that you bring him in, you understand that it's not Matt Shaw's time. You might be able to get him sometime, but this is a starting player. I mean, if you sign him to the kind of money he's looking for, whether it's for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, then you're not going to see your rookie develop, and that's okay because you can still wait on that. There's no reason that you have to force that kind of an issue. I don't know enough about how well they believe he will be, how good he will be, how well he will play to say that they should just, you know, lock him in there and move on in life. I think I think the way they've kind of handled things with PCA has been pretty good. They let him play. They saw him advance. They saw him take another step, and now they're relying upon him. I think that's the way to do it, rather than just have a guy kind of thrown to the wolves, and if you sink or swim, depending on how that guy plays. So I think that, they got money. They should spend the money, and this would be a good player to bring in. I wouldn't give him a long-term deal. I think if you get 3 years and let him come back on it, 3 years at, you know, $75 to $100 million seems like enough money.
Boy, that's a lot of money. The Cubs need stuff still. They should not be done. But I think you need to read the room, read the free agency market, and who are you competing against for Bregman's services? So I don't think you need to.
Red Sox will give him a short-term deal too, does.
I think they really have to be responsive here to the moment they find themselves in. And that's a moment that screams urgency. You've got a team president that understands that every year matters, but this one probably matters more than most. It is the final year of Jed Hoyer's contract. And I think that urgency was reflected in the way they pursued Kyle Tucker and got him. Kyle Tucker, realistically, is not going to sign with the Cubs during the season, and the chances of him coming back to Chicago for $500 million he might be worthy of paying by somebody at the end of the year if it's an MVP caliber year, and the hope is it will be, then he likely is to walk. If you've got 1 year of Kyle Tucker, if you've got one more year to make a run and prove that you are still worthy of putting together a playoff World Series caliber roster, then you are Jed Hoyer, and you are hell-bent on overpaying for Alex Bregman. Structure a deal that is creative. Maybe it's 3 years, $75, $80, $90 million, but the first year is front-loaded with opt-outs. You've got to overspend maybe in 2025 because you are putting everything into that next season. You are making sure that you are removing the doubt from your lineup. And as much as we love Matt Shaw, and we fall in love with these prospects, and God bless PCA and Owen Casey and Michael Bush and all the guys, Ben Brown's going to close. Yeah, they're maybes. They're definite maybes. And prospects aren't proven players. You know what Alex Bregman is? A proven player.
Right.
Get him.
Can he go? Foot race. Glenn will catch him. Touchdown. Pick six, Notre Dame.
How much did you enjoy reading legendary Notre Dame coach Lou Holtz, now 88? Take a gratuitous shot at Ohio State's Ryan Day on X, writing, if Notre Dame doesn't win, it's because we want to preserve Ryan Day's job. End of tweet. Holtz picked the Irish to win by 3. Will Day be looking for Lou like he did back in 2023 after Lou Holtz questioned the Buckeyes' toughness in big games under Day's leadership?
Like, I'd like to know where Lou Holtz is right now.
I love hearing that clip. I love this question.
Any excuse.
I love hearing Lou Holtz still living rent-free in Ryan Day's head. He's 88. He's 88, and he's still got it. And Lou Holtz was the coach back in 88 when Notre Dame last won a national title. I love that Lou Holtz is still paying attention to the point where he's involved in the conversation about this matchup, which is so filled and delicious with drama. I cannot wait for Monday night. I cannot wait to see Notre Dame and Ohio State. You know, Lou Holtz, speaking of him, he's a guy that is a great resource for this matchup when you talk about the rich history of both programs. He was an assistant coach for Woody Hayes on the 1968 national championship team for Ohio State, and then he led Notre Dame to the national title in his third season in South Bend. You know what it is this year for Marcus Freeman? His third season in South Bend. There's a lot of symmetry. I love that now Ryan Day has to think about or address or even just deal with Lou Holtz for a hot minute because he should be focused on other things. But Lou Holtz knows what he's doing, and it's great to hear from Lou again.
When they have their media day for this big game down in Atlanta, I really hope somebody brings this up.
Oh, that's so funny. It's so fun. It's just such a tweak, and it's just such a, you know, shooting a little peanut shell at the guy after what happened the last time, and it's so funny. I laughed out loud at this one. I think Lou Holtz, I hope he comes back again and says something about toughness, because you know the Irish, the way you win that game is you coax them into fighting you in the trenches a little bit, and we know that Ryan Day will take that bait because he did so against Michigan. So I think it's fun stuff that if a guy shows that you can get in his head that you decide to live there rent free. I love Lou Holtz. I thought it was really a funny moment. And as we say, any excuse to hear where's Lou Holtz right now. And Lou also said he's going to go to the game. So he literally, you know, Ryan Day might be able to find him.
He'll be on the Notre Dame sideline a bit.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.